you are about to step into the Beryl Solomon podcast show. No fluff, talking about greatness, talking about wealth, talking about how to become the number one man or woman in your space. Let's roll.
For real Jewish businessman.
Shout out to homie Solomon. Nobody was following that. Everybody follow him.
For real Jewish businessman.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everyone.
Today we're discussing something that's very important that I wanted to bring my wonderful wife Eliana in to discuss, which is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, which is how to support your spouse in his or her career.
Okay.
And I think that Eliana has some really great insight into this. When I started my company, she was there since day one. She was there way before I decided to start my company. She was there through all the difficult times that made me want to start and change my career.
Exactly.
And I think that she, as a wonderful, supportive wife and woman, has tons of insight to share into this. So Eliana, why don't you take it away?
After seeing my husband unhappy for a long time in his job, I started feeling like, you know what? I don't care if he starts something new and that's it. Like, I don't care to give it up, even though he had a stable job. I didn't care to start from the beginning. And I thought maybe we're gonna struggle a little bit, but I wanted to see him happy. So I it came to a point that it wasn't working anymore. Even though he was okay, he was stable, that he came home and he was always insecure and he was not so happy. So you know what, I decided to, I told him, you know what, it's time for you to start something new.
Bam, I remember that day.
Do you remember?
I think the pain and the fear of starting something new and having the unknown was actually less than the pain that was coming from my previous job.
Exactly.
Right, would you agree?
100%.
So I said, I'd rather, you know what, it seemed like stability on one hand because I had a six-figure salary, I had a promising future, but it came to a point where there wasn't stability because I wasn't the master of my own
life. He wasn't happy. And even if you are in a job that you're happy, but you're also not making to support your family, your wife cannot go and buy what she needs or to go and get food, it's that something that it's gonna bring stress to the house. Okay, so it's something that you have to think. I don't know, like, you know, do I have to change jobs? Do you have to start something new? If it's gonna affect the house already also, it's something that you have to think.
So let me ask you a question, and I please encourage everybody on, we have a question here from Penny Friedman. He says, what's the best way to keep your wife motivated when things take longer than expected? So it's a good question, right? You know, your wife doesn't really care what's going on. She wants to make sure that when she goes to IGA or she goes to the grocery store, when she swipes that card, that things are gonna happen and she's gonna be able to buy what she needs for the family, right? So it's hard, he's absolutely right. It's hard to explain to your wife why things are taking a long time. And to that, Penny, I would answer that you have to just reassure her and tell her that things are gonna be okay. And at the end of the day, you're doing your best and that there is another player here, God, who's also involved. Yeah. And as long as—
Also, I think everything you're saying, it's 100%, you have to tell her. But also, sometimes I there was times that I remember that it was tough because when he stopped his job, he left his job, it was hard, you know? And sometimes I didn't know what we could afford and we couldn't afford. Mm-hmm. And it was very stressful, very stressful. So, and my husband thought, Beryl thought that maybe if he only told me it's gonna be okay, I would feel better. But really, what we wanna hear is, we wanna know really, like, it's important for a woman to know the numbers, you know? For them to know what we could do and what we can do. So we're not like in a limbo. We're not like, you know, like, it's important for you to be honest with her and tell her, look, I'm going to do my best, what I'm doing now, I'm gonna do my best, but here are the numbers. For her, like, for her to have a budget and to see what she could spend, because if you don't give her a budget or anything, she's gonna be very stressed. She's not gonna know what is good and what is not good.
Well, sweetheart, the budget was simple. We had no budget. Mm-hmm. I was broke. I come on saying to her, why are you so worried about money? We have none. What's the problem? But it's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. It's transparency, right?
Yeah, to say the truth, you know? Yeah.
I guess from a man's point of view, it's scary because when you're broke, it's hard to come home and say that to your wife. It's a very stressful conversation to have. So I think that I think that from a man doesn't want to say that. It's very difficult for men to tell. It's very difficult. For a man to tell his wife that, listen, sweetheart, we got nothing. So I don't know what the answer is. Beg, borrow, and steal if you have to, but make sure that your wife has what she needs, because there's such a concept that all the blessings come from a person's wife, and it's absolutely true. And I'm not talking about like on a spiritual level, you know, blessings come from your wife on some seventh heaven. I'm talking about like if your wife is happy in a good mood, then you in turn are gonna be happy in a good mood. And if your wife is miserable, you're gonna be miserable. Happy wife, happy life. And I think it's important that your wife never feels the struggle. That's from my perspective. If I had to beg, borrow, and steal, maybe not steal, but beg and borrow for money, I absolutely would have done it to make sure that you would not have felt that pinch. It's kind of like when somebody's drowning and you're holding them above water. Well, you're not breathing, but at least the person that you're holding up is still breathing. And that's how I felt when I was going through that struggle. I never wanted you to feel.
He never made me feel nervous. Like he.
There was that one time. Do you remember when I first, the day that I quit, about the orange juice? You want to tell them that story?
Oh yeah. We were actually talking, like, it was at that time that he said to his family that he's not gonna work there anymore. And I don't know what day it was, but when we went to the mall one time, I think it was Sunday, whatever, with the kids, and I wanted to have a drink, you know? I wanted to have a simple orange juice or something. And he got upset.
Well, it wasn't so simple, it was $7. Okay? It was the most complicated orange juice you ever saw in your life.
He did get upset, and in my mind I was like, why is he getting upset? It's only $6. I don't know how much it was.
Plus
I couldn't understand, you know, I did not understand. But he was very stressed. And at that moment, if you are looking at me and you're a wife of a man that is going through this right now, you have to be patient, okay? And you have to understand that he's going through a hard time right now. It's not easy.
You had a great point, and please guys, ask your comments on Instagram and on Facebook. We will not leave this live without answering every single comment. That's my promise to you. You mentioned something earlier which I really want you to share with the people.
Yeah.
So that's for the women that you gave advice to, but give advice to some of the men out there that are changing careers, changing jobs, starting your own businesses, about sensitivity.
Okay.
Just click the silence button. Yeah.
Okay, so basically
how the man also has to be, there's also a change.
Okay. So when you move jobs, when you go to a different job, not only you're going through a big change and you know it's very stressful for you, but also the wife is going through a big change. And sometimes men they feel so stressed, but they don't realize that the wife is also going through a big change. So I don't know, my advice is like, I don't know, an example is that...
Yeah, your advice to men out there who are changing careers.
Yeah, is you have to be
patient. Starting your companies.
Right, you have to be patient with your wives. You have to be very patient because it's a big change for her also. When Beryl changed his job, he used to be in a very low-key kind of job. He used to be in the metal business and he didn't have to make noise. He didn't have to be on social media actually. Beryl, when he was in Globe Metal, where he used to work, he told me one time, he said, you know what, I don't want to have Facebook anymore. It distracts me from everything. He didn't even have Instagram at that moment. I don't want to have Facebook. So I said, okay, great. He used to be that kind of guy. He used to be focused on the metal. And that's it, you know? That's who I met when I married him. And all of a sudden, when he moved and he changed a different,
she got a shock.
I was very shocked to see this new Beryl, you know? He was a different person.
Beryl 2.0!
It was a different... He had to be very loud and he had to bring out his big personality.
Why, you think I'm loud?
I mean...
I'm just joking.
He had to be loud with social media, you know?
You're doing great, yes. Keep on
going. It was very hard for me. It was very hard for me because I'm a very quiet person. I'm a very... I don't want people to know what we're doing all the time. I'm a very quiet person, and for me, it was very hard, very hard.
I had to pay her to be on this live.
No, actually, it's very weird that I'm in the live. I never did anything like this before, and it was hard for me to sit down. I was very nervous before I came, but yeah, for me, it was so, like, I was like, we were out. It was the beginning that he was going on Facebook now and like doing lives and videos. And one time, I remember we were in Panama. It was just the start. Beryl didn't have an office. He didn't have anything yet. He didn't have anything.
I was working out of a coffee shop.
We went to Panama, and he would go from office to ask people. He knocked on people's doors. And he knocked on people's door, and he asked them if he wants the commercial, like.
In Spanish.
He wanted to see what.
No hablo español. Okay.
So at that moment, he was taking videos of everything. And I was like, I remember we were eating lunch together, and he was taking a video of himself talking. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I was like, I wasn't used to this person, to this new person. And I was a little bit embarrassed what people were going to say. I'm going to be honest. Now it's different. Now, you know, I'm very much more comfortable. And I was asking him, what are you trying to do? Also, the world changed.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be like this before, that people would go on live and go and put videos. Before, it wasn't like this. And now it's more common, right? But before, I was like, what are you doing this? And I was insecure also. I was like, no, don't post. I don't want people to see what we're doing, what you're doing. You know, it was hard. And it was very hard.
I think one of the reasons, which you never spoke about, one of the reasons why Eliana was scared for me to post and be so honest is because we didn't know if it was going to work or not. We didn't know if it was going to be successful or not. So imagine you tell the whole world you're going to do something and then you fail. How scary that must be.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons why you wanted me to keep it quiet. And I said to myself, you know, there's a good analogy that I once heard that I live by, that there was once a army general who took his entire army to an island to fight with a country. And as everybody got off the ship, the army general turns around and he lights the ship on fire behind him. And the whole army says, what did you just do? That was our only way to escape. And he says, that's exactly why I did it, because now you have no excuse. We have to succeed. So when I went into this new business, I said to myself, I'm burning the ships behind me. I have no choice but to succeed. I'm going big or I'm going home. And if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail big. I have a good question here by Anne.
So but can we finish this thing that we're talking and then we go to a question?
You are my boss, so
okay.
You can do whatever you want.
It was.
By the way, my company's not used to seeing me have a boss. So I tell everyone, you better be nice to her because she's the boss's boss.
No. So basically, also touching the subject of...
Bam! You're fired! No, I'm just joking. I'm sorry. Did I scare you? Did you jump?
No.
Okay, yeah.
touching the subject of having a husband that is out there, you know? What was I going to say? Okay. It was so hard for me, for him to, like, seeing him on videos. I had to see every single video that he was making and putting it on.
Yeah.
I had to... Every single day when he was putting a video, I would look at it. I was obsessed. I was like, what is he going to do now? What is he going to do now? Why is he doing this? And when he came home, I would be like, why did he say this? Why did he say that? And like that. And it came into a point and he was so upset also. He was like, why are you?
Yeah, we got into a lot of fights because
it was very hard in the beginning. Very, very hard.
It was very
and
hard.
We actually even went to a rabbi to speak about this. It was really hard. A rabbi to speak about what, like, this new thing that is going on in our lives. Like, when I met him, he was very different.
And, by the way, if you don't have a rabbi, that's cool. And if you're not Jewish, it's also cool. We love you too.
Yeah, but someone. We spoke to someone because we needed
our marriage. You have to speak to someone. That's it.
We needed to speak to something about this.
Speak to your teacher. Speak to somebody that you care. I don't know.
A mentor.
A mentor. Not your parents. Do not speak to your mother-in-law about it.
Your parents, also my parents, like.
Even though I love my Sarah, I love you. You're the best.
No. Parents, sometimes they're concerned, right? So they ask you, so how is your husband doing? How is he doing? What is he doing? So that makes you more insecure because you're trying to keep up with people around you, your relatives, and you want people to think that everything is going well. Like, and you're getting more pressure, you know. So if your parents or your relatives are telling you stuff, just don't listen to anyone. This is between you and your husband. Don't listen to anyone. Because people are going to try to ask you. When you start something new, people are really going to want to know what's going on. And they're going to really be there on top. No?
Good point. 100%. This is between you and your wife or you and your spouse. All right. We have another question. How do you support your husband and make sure that he is staying positive even when things are getting tough?
Okay, it's a good question. So you have to know, women out there, that this all belongs. The success that your husband is gonna go through, it's really a lot of it. It's on the wife's part. Okay, when I was insecure and when I was telling him, why are you doing this, why are you doing that, and like that, he wasn't doing so well at that moment. As soon as I stopped
questioning
him and being upset, and I just let him do what he wants to do and just
trust.
Even if your husband is not so brilliant, even if he's not doing so well, and even if he sucks,
What are you trying to say?
even if he sucks, if the woman is happy for him and if the woman shows him support, he's gonna do good. Trust me, he's going to succeed.
It's true.
I had an Instagram question.
Yeah, we have an Instagram question. One second before we get to it. Thank you. I just want to mention on that note, I know people who are brilliant people and their wives do not support them, and they're not successful. I know people who are completely ignoramuses. And their wives support them, and they're successful.
Yes, yes.
So important. Your wife is...
The blessing comes from the wife,
100%. 100%. Yes, Instagram question. Guys, ask your questions. We will not leave today without answering your wonderful question.
So, Leaguers Lab, Uncut, Uncensored. His question is, what is the number one advice you would give to newlyweds about business and family life balance?
Ooh, good question. So, first of all, your family life balance, forget about it, okay? A lot of people tell me, this whole family life, you do not have a family life if you cannot pay your rent. Do you understand what that means when you're standing on the street corner with your, they shut off our electricity in our house. My family life then was not good, okay? I wish that I had spent more time in the office and I had done what I had to do to make sure that my family was comfortable financially and successful financially. By the way, in terms of, it doesn't mean that there should be no spirituality in the house. It's very important to bring God in the house as well. You know, as Jewish people, we have something called Shabbat, which is one day a week where we don't use any electronics, we don't work, we don't do anything, and that is our day to focus on our family and our day to focus on ourselves. And I think that everybody in the world, Jewish, non-Jewish, whatever it is, you should have one day, that this is my day that I'm taking off for the week and I'm completely unplugged. But the rest of those 5 days, man, you gotta be focused, you gotta be hustling. Forget about work-life balance. Here's another thing, okay? Newlyweds out there, that is the most important time of your life. We took 3 months. We went to Israel and we had the opportunity to
get to know each other.
To get to know each other, and I didn't have to work because we had a gift from my father-in-law that allowed us to go do that, and that was a beautiful experience.
That was not everyone has such a, that they could just leave, you know?
He gave us a wonderful gift and I appreciate it forever. But in terms of finances and newlyweds, you gotta get that straight. You know, I don't wanna say don't get married until you have your finances straight, but if you're unemployed, you cannot get married. It just doesn't work. You have to support your family, you have to support your life. I used to go to restaurants.
What do you mean you cannot get married if you?
I like that. Yes, good.
I don't agree with that.
Good. I'm glad.
I don't agree.
I'm good. I'm happy you did. I'm happy you do.
Yeah.
I used to go to a restaurant. It used to cost me $9.20 when I went to a restaurant. Okay. Now I go to a restaurant. No matter what, it's costing me $90. No matter what day, even if it's just you and me, for that matter, because you can't say no to your wife when she wants an appetizer. How could you say such a thing? but really, you go with your kids. Bam, $141. Meaning some people earn $400 the whole week. So you don't agree with me that you can't
They can't get married if you don't have No, what? They're gonna wait till they get married? No. The wives also bring the blessings. Also, when we got married,
I love it that you could contradict me. It's good. By the way, you could contradict each other and you could still be in love. Doesn't
Guys,
matter.
When
it's
we cool. got married, if you're Jewish here.
Can we talk about that for a second? Hang on. I want to talk about that. I don't think you could get married without a job.
I do think.
What happens if you have no, but how are you gonna pay for your apartment? How are you gonna pay for your food?
When you get married, you both of you have to work. I don't know, you have to get a job or something. You for sure have to get a job, but I mean, if you're waiting a long time for you to get a job and nothing is, I don't know. Depends who we're talking to.
Right, one size doesn't fit all. I will mention this, by the way, is that when I did get married, I started making a lot more after I got married, like almost four times.
That's what I was gonna get to.
Yeah, almost like four times as much, because God knows you need more now.
Basically, well, before we, when we got married, my father, I'm from Panama, and I met someone from Montreal, you know, and my father and my mom were a little bit concerned to just send me there, you know. So my father actually had a talk with Barrow, and he said, how much are you making?
It was very uncomfortable.
You know, he actually asked him that.
It was very uncomfortable.
And my mom asked my father, is it okay? When my father already spoke to him, my mom asked, is it okay? He said, yeah, it's okay. So whatever, we got married. And when we got married, I remember the first time I went to a mikveh after we got married. If you're Jewish, it's like a place that you go inside, like a water thing, and you purify yourself. You could ask a lot of questions. It's a very spiritual thing if you're Jewish. And I asked a lot. I asked for parnasa, for livelihood, for my husband and everything, for our family. This, when we just got married, as soon as I left that place, my husband just told me I just made a big deal. It was like this. And I see, and like it changed, like we had a baby and all of a sudden, like, it completely, like, it's really up to God. It's incredible. Like you could get married and you think that you have this, but then your wife brings you a lot of blessings, and also your kids, each kid you have, it's like, it's incredible. And
that,
also
that,
when
that
I'm
I
sitting
do agree
down
with.
When I'm sitting down and I'm praying to God about livelihood, also I see a lot of blessings. You have to pray a lot as a wife. While your husband is working, you have to sit down and talk to God a little bit.
Bam, I agree. One thing that I do agree with you about is, a lot of things, but is that you don't have to, when it comes to children, for sure you don't have to wait until you have enough money. That I totally do not agree with. That a lot of people say, oh, when I have enough money, then I'm gonna have kids. I can't afford kids right now. My father-in-law always told me that every single child comes with a loaf of bread under their arm when they're born, meaning they support themselves. And I actually want to tweak that, is that every child comes with a little miniature bread factory. It's not like, oh, you have a child and he comes with 10 grand in his pocket and that's what you have to get him going. No, that child continues to bring you blessings, continues. Do you know how much it costs to have three children? Do you have any idea? It's a fortune. But somehow, some way, I mean, we spend $300 to $500 a week at the grocery store. That's how much it costs to feed. We have a little army, really.
And, God helps.
And yeah, and 100%. So, do we have any other questions on Instagram? Yeah, go ahead.
Greg Eisenberg wants to know, how do you support your wife?
Oh, Greg Eisenbergler.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
My best buddy. How you doing, Greg?
Good question. He's a really good friend of Beryl. He's a long time.
Good man. How do you support your wife? Well, Eliana mentioned that this is something that I was insensitive to, that when you're switching careers, when you're starting a business, or you're transferring from one domain to the next, you think it's all about you. And I was, you know, so enwrapped in my journey and my struggle and my everything that I just could not understand why Eliana was so nervous and why she was looking over my shoulder so much and why she was so stressed. I said, what are you stressing about? This is my thing, my journey, my struggle. Why are you stressing? And I'd say, how do you support your wife is, as you mentioned before, be honest, be open, be real. Don't try to hide your struggles from your wife or your husband, because they know. They know that you're struggling. They know that there's a tenseness.
It's better if you tell your wife what's going on than being cold, because she's not going to know why you're cold to her, you know? She's not gonna know what's happening.
That's what
you have to be honest with her, and you connect to her much more. You become very connected when you're being vulnerable to your wife. You start talking, being honest with each other, and you become so close to that person. And instead of not talking to her and being upset and you don't want to tell her, but it's worse to not tell her. It's better to be open.
That's what I was going to say, actually. That's a good point. When you're stressed, your spouse feels that. And often feelings do not have words, and feelings do not communicate what words communicate. So you might be in a bad mood because nothing is going your way, and your spouse may be interpreting that as, oh, he's mad at me or she's mad at me. And instead of not talking about it and letting that negative feeling linger, express to your wife, hey, listen, I'm having trouble finding a job right now, or the job that I'm working at, my boss is really not being nice to me, or, you know, I switch careers and it's just not working out right now. I'm trying my best, please, you know.
And sometimes your wife could give you some advice also, because sometimes you're in the box, you're inside that moment situation and you can't see out of the box. Once you speak to her, she could like advise you. It's nice also.
Yeah, I run a lot of things by you, even though my wife has no business experience whatsoever, but she knows me. She has barrel experience. And so that sometimes she's able to tell me things that I don't even realize about myself. Any other questions on Instagram? All right, guys, this has been super fun. God bless. Thank you.
Something else you want to talk about?
What, you want to keep on going? For sure.
No, is there something else we have to say? Just keep, it's gonna go well. You have to keep doing your thing, you know? And your wife has to support you. It's very hard in the beginning. We used to have hard times when he moved to a different job. It was very stressful. And I don't know, just be patient. Be patient and talk to your wife and work with each other together. And if you have to speak to someone, if you have to speak to a mentor or a rabbi or whoever you speak to, speak to them. It's very, very important.
Together.
Together.
Right, in the same room. Guys, God bless. Thank you for watching.
What, you have two more questions.
Two more questions. Okay, yes.
Starting a business is starting a business is the hardest in the beginning. What is considered a normal amount of time when you're not home because you're at work?
That's a very good question. Who asked that? Who asked it?
Sishfren,
thank you for asking the question. So let me just repeat it for everybody that didn't hear. Starting a business is very difficult, especially in the beginning. What is a reasonable amount of time to be at the office, and what could be expected that is reasonable? There were nights that I was in the office until 11 o'clock at night when I was starting everything, and I had to get my website together, and I had to get everything going.
I don't remember that.
Because you were out of town. That's why I was able to
But
do
when
it.
You're with your wife, you can't come at that time home at 11 o'clock at night.
Yes.
Maybe in your house, work in your house a little bit.
I agree.
It's very late to come to your house at that time.
One thing that I will say, though, is that I will, you know, ask the wives out there, and you can ask the husbands out there things too. But what I will ask the wives out there is, when you are starting that new business, when your husband is starting a new business or a new job or a new career, just give him the leash that he needs, give him the slack that he needs, give him the space that he needs in order to build that, because no one wants to be in the office past 5-6 o'clock, let's be honest. We all have lives, we do other things besides work, but you don't want to be there, but sometimes you need to be there. So what's a reasonable amount of time? I personally try to be home every single day by 6 o'clock or earlier to make sure I'm there to eat dinner with my family. I never work on Saturdays, I never work on Sundays, but in the beginning, you have to put in those extra hours and you have to be sensitive to that.
Yeah, talk to your wife and ask her if it's okay that you come home an hour later or something like that. But to do a drastic time from 6 to 11 or 3 hours more, it's very drastic. Maybe talk to her and you guys get into a compromise.
Right. Yeah, right? That's a good point. Don't tell your wife what you're going to do. Ask her if what you want to do is okay. What else you got?
Someone wants to meet you guys.
Who wants to meet us?
Alt.dv says, can we meet you guys when I'm in Montreal next weekend?
If you're paying for dinner, we're meeting ya.
You're crazy.
Cool. God bless, guys. Have a great
day.
Bye, guys. Support your spouse.
All the best.
Love your spouse. And let's make our marriages great again.